Where's Terry Savage? Hi, Terry. Whoa, Terry. You are there.
I'm here.
I know you're there. How are you?
I'm happy. I hear my walk-on music, which Lisa picked, and I go, oh, well, no matter what the market does, I'm happy. And the market's been up, so I'm happy anyway, too.
Yeah, I know. You know, so what do you think of the President of the United States calling the Fed Chair Jerome Powell a numbskull? I don't mean what you personally think so much as how does stuff like that impact all of us, impact the market?
Well, Fed chairs have famously taken a lot of guff. I think, I'm trying to remember, it was Lyndon Johnson that backed up his Fed chairman into the corner physically. Because presidents want political things to happen that are good for the economy, that get them and their party reelected. And the Fed chair frequently has the difficult job of saying, no, we're going to do our dual mandate, which is keep unemployment low and keep inflation low. And so we're set up for a conflict. As long as they're independent, they can talk at each other all they want. And this Fed chairman only has until next May. So there will be a new Fed chairman, and that new Fed chairman will be appointed by this president. And the question is, no matter who he picks, will that person have to kiss the ring, agree with the president, or will the new Fed chairman picked by the president? Don't forget, Powell was picked by the president in his first term by President Trump. So the question is, what do you have to do to get the job? And then once you get the job, are you sure you can handle the job if it means standing up to the person who appointed you?
But it's not only the Fed chairman, is it? Isn't it the committee that is supposed to decide all these things?
Well, sure. These are the open market committee consists of a group that may not all have the same opinions, although they tend to agree. They tend to reach a consensus, and the Fed chairman is the person that has the job of explaining it. So, right now, the Fed can control short-term rates, but the huge bond market, all our debt out there, is really controlled by the investors around the world who buy and sell our debt. If they worry that the Fed will cave in and do something that's inflationary, they will sell our debt, pushing long-term rates up. And so it will be counterproductive anyway to give in to demands for things that could potentially cause inflation.
Okay, speaking of debt, we have a lot of that as a country. And sort of, Terry, I didn't plan to ask you any of this, but when I mentioned that, lots of things come to mind. It's like our culture. How many people, you may know the number, you may not, percentage of Americans are in debt, credit card debt, and other types of debt? And how many cities are in debt? How many states? I know you don't know the answer per se.
There are surveys of those things that come out all the time. Look, during the COVID period when people pretty much stopped shopping, although online, but we all made a vow, and after the 2007-2008 recession, vowed, we'll never get in debt like this again. But meanwhile, credit debt outstanding is at all-time highs, well over $1 trillion. And beyond that, something that's not mentioned in terms of credit card debt is this buy now, pay later phenomenon that has sprung up that doesn't quite get reported in the debt statistics. So, in fact, I just finished writing a column that'll get to my website, terrysavage.com, and into syndication next week about bankruptcy, because we're also seeing a pickup in bankruptcy rates. And the fact is that numerous surveys have come out saying that Americans have little resiliency. It's okay now, we have jobs, but in the face of either a job loss or an unusual financial expense, uncovered medical expense, or the car breaks down or the refrigerator needs to be replaced, most American families don't have the resources to pay for that out of savings and are really pretty well charged up on their credit cards as well.
So is there some good to this in a way?
You know what? Because if we're going to talk about this, Steve,
yes,
let me give you an important number that's also on my website.
Uh-oh.
It's the number to get help. Now, the part of that article on bankruptcy I just wrote and will post soon is about the fact that when times get a little edgy like this, and look, we're in a growing economy, there's no recession in sight, jobs are still available, but if anything goes wrong, you're going to see these. Now, I wondered why I hadn't been seeing late night TV commercials, maybe because I don't stay up so late anymore, but a lot of it is also viral on TikTok. Get out of debt. We will help you. Call us 1-800-GET-OUT-OF-DEBT right now. And those kinds of programs can get you deeper into debt. They tell you to stop paying on your cards, give them money, and they'll, quote, negotiate. But at that point, you can never tell whether your wages will be garnished or something else terrible can happen. So let me give you the toll-free number for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. You can talk to them. If you just talk to them, that doesn't even go on your credit report. If you ask them to help you with a program to get out of debt, they will talk to your creditors, lower the rates on your card. You'll send them one payment, and they will continuously pay your creditors. They are the ones you could trust. It's nfcc.org, National Foundation for Credit Counseling.org, or 800-388-2227. And you can find that at terrysavage.com.
I didn't plan to go this route. And you know what? No matter which way I go, you know so much, Terry. You're amazing.
Well, this is all I think about. You know,
yeah,
I listen to the sports click and I go, do I know what's going on with the Bears this fall? Do I know what's going on with the Cubs and Sox? No, I don't know that. But I do know this stuff. And I do know that in good times, you're supposed to pay down your debt. And if you're already buried in debt, I'll give you the number again, 800-388-2227.
Thank you. And that website again?
NFCC, National Foundation for Credit Counseling.org.
Perfect. So the S&P narrowly posted another fresh record close, right?
And the Dow is like about 500 and maybe 600 points away from its record.
So where, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what's interesting to me is last time I talked to you, we were talking about the opposite issue. Things were, they were diving down, you know, and now we have smiles on our faces, or should we not?
Well, so here's another column. This one will get posted tomorrow morning. It's called So You're Even. Look, the first week in April, with the news of those tariffs, and without a real complete understanding that the president would make announcements like that and then renege on them or delay them or restate them or whatever. So here we are, you know, all these months later. So the stock market, roughly speaking, fell 20% from its highs. And people were scared. We talked about that. I said at the time, you know, if someone said you could get even, what would you do to readjust your portfolio? Now, if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, the answer should be, I'd do nothing. I'd keep contributing to my 401k. I'd buy the S&P 500 stock index fund because I don't want to pay a lot of attention. And over the long run, I'll come out ahead. But for the people that are nearing retirement or in retirement, going to need to start drawing down to live on that money, you now have a chance. You're even. You're probably maybe even a little bit ahead. So this is the moment where you say, how much exposure? Not, thank goodness I got even, but what if it happens again? Is this the moment where you should say, with your advisor, gee, I need some more chicken money on the sidelines, CDs, money markets, and so forth. I need to diversify to more conservative stock funds. Now, when it's quiet, not in the middle of a panic.
But that isn't necessarily human nature, unfortunately. So do you have a magic number? Like if you're retired and 70, if you're retired and 75, or does it depend on what your sensibilities are, what you are willing to risk, or also does it depend on how much money you owe other folks, or all the above?
All of that is factored in. On my website, I talk about getting financial advice from a fiduciary, a fee-only fiduciary. I mean, assuming you have investments and you want to think about how exposed am I and how exposed should I be. And that all comes into play. What are my income needs? And yeah, what's my personal risk tolerance? You don't know what your personal risk tolerance is until you face that moment of, oh my goodness, what happened? So a professional who is not trying to sell you something, a fiduciary, can actually help you make those decisions and say, look, you really have enough money so that you could withdraw this much and you need some growth to offset inflation. This is not saying, like, get out of the stock market because you're old. That's not the answer. The answer is really to create a plan. I have a link find your trusted financial advisor to a service called WealthRamp. My friend Pam Kruger has a matching service like Match.com for fee-only fiduciaries. And I think that's a way to find someone that's on your side and not trying to sell you something.
All right. National Council for Credit Counseling is nfcc.org. Terry Savage, you know we all love you here at WGN. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve. Fun to be on with you.